Chapter 39. Jingle Bells.
Come on now, Xian'er. Stay still for me, okay? Mei Ling asked her little brother as she tied the red sash around his waist.
As all little boys did at his age, he was fidgeting, eager to go out and play.
Everybody else is outside already, Mei Mei,
her little brother grumbled, upset that he had to get dressed up more than any of his friends.
Yes, they are. However, those little ones aren't going to be the next leader of Hong Yao Wu. There is a time for play, little brother, and there is a time for duty.
He pouted fiercely, but accepted her judgment.
Besides, if you went out earlier, you'd be falling asleep before the night was half done. Didn't you say you'd stay up with the rest of us to be able to see the sun this year?
Xian flushed at her words. He had nearly made it last year, after boasting for months that he would be able to stay up all night with the rest of the adults. And then he'd ended up passing out on her shoulder, snoring away as the sun rose. It was cute, but her arms were sore by the end of it, especially after carrying him on her back for hours. He was starting to get heavy. She used to be able to hold him up without any strain at all.
Ah, how time has changed things.
I'll make it this year, he muttered stubbornly, refusing to look at her. And next year, Dad is teaching me the sun dance, he said, with a fair amount of pride.
Mei Ling smiled at him.
And then you get to dance all night. You're right. Maybe I should let you out to play. You need to build up your endurance.
Xian went silent as he realized that playing a lot meant that he would have trouble staying awake. Finally, Mei Ling could work uninterrupted by him moving or saying something. She just had this last piece, and then they would be done. He obligingly lifted his feet for her, and she helped him get on his hide boots, tightening the laces so they wouldn't come off. She finished tying the knot and stood up to examine her handiwork. Xian's warm robe and jacket looked like the colors of dawn, reds and oranges symbolizing the fires that would burn through the longest night.
Well, there's the little head man. So handsome,
Mei Ling teased and pressed a sloppy kiss to his cheek.
Mei Mei,
Xian yowled, disgusted by the spit smeared on his face. He glared at her and leaned forward as if going for some retaliation. She leaned back, dodging. Instead, he leapt from the stool he was on and raced out of her grasp, turning around once to stick his tongue out at her.
Stupid head,
he called, rubbing his arm against his face to get the worst of her attack off. Mei Ling, as the mature older sister, stuck her tongue out in return. He giggled and fled the house. She smiled fondly at his exit. He really had grown up so fast. 10 years of difference between them, yet sometimes she felt like she was already a mother. She had certainly raised him for long enough. 7 years already since their mother's passing. Mei Ling sighed and went to check on her father. He was in his office, stripped down to his waist and in deep meditation. In front of him, a candle was burning and smoke filled the room. He always looked troubled when he was meditating, his brows scrunched up, and his face in a slight frown. But he needed this moment of peaceful respite. He had a long, long night ahead of him, for tonight's dance was even more taxing than the dragon dance. It was one of the founding rituals of their village, practiced for millennia, if the texts were right. He had already been preparing himself for a full week, conditioning his body and focusing the tiny scraps of chi he had. His eyes opened as she entered, but his breathing remained the same.
Daughter, her father greeted, as some of the worry lines disappeared from his face.
Just wanted to see if you needed anything, father,
she whispered, unwilling to disturb the quiet of the room. He shook his head.
I need nothing else, he deflated. Nothing but these last moments.
She nodded her head at her father's request to be left alone and exited the room. She had to get ready too. Her own robes were dark red with a few lighter orange highlights, and they were to be hidden by a dark shawl with white fur around the collar. Now, it was time to start helping out. Most of the preparations were done, but everybody always appreciated another hand in the kitchens. She exited her house and went out into the cold air. The village was bedecked in color. Like the mid-autumn festival, red paper lanterns hung from the houses and red cloths were strung between the roofs. The smell of cooking and food permeated the villages, the scent of glutinous rice balls and soup. It was a good smell, with fond memories.
Mei Ling had always loved sitting in her mother's lap and watching the sunrise. The others in the large communal kitchen greeted her as she approached, tossing her an apron so she could start working as well. Hu Li, the Song brothers' mother, grinned at her and passed her some meat that she had to butcher. She slotted herself into the assembly line with ease as the ladies of the village talked away. The day was short, and there was lots of work to do. Mei Ling yawned as she took a small break, sitting on a cold bench and watching over the children. She idly wondered when Jin would show up, as he'd said he would. She turned her eyes up to the clouds above. The sky was overcast and drab. The snowfall and the mist limited visibility. But music was coming from the swirling mist. The steady ringing and ching, ching, ching of bells sounded throughout the streets. The puffing of animals. As soon as the children heard it, they turned from their games and looked towards the noise, curious and excited. The adults simply watched on, already having a good idea of who was visiting them. Only one man came from that direction. Deep, joyous laughter sounded out. It boomed out over the village, carrying cheer with it. From the mist, something emerged. It started as a silhouette, a strange, puffing beast with tusks and an antler upon its head. Another with her nose painted red. Together they pulled a magnificent sleigh. It was adorned with pine branches, and the wood was lacquered in shining scarlet, along with silver and gold stars running down its side. A man stood upon it, his arms crossed, and one of his legs placed up on the front of the sled. Jin wore a bright red robe and a fur-lined jacket, mostly similar to what the rest of the village was wearing. The only thing strange about it was the pointed and fur-lined hat with a pom-pom on the end. He was with a rooster who also had a red hat. The spirit beast was perched primly on his shoulder, and a cat who laid upon a truly massive bag attached to the back of his sleigh, a ball in her mouth. It was an amusing sight.
Jin!
The children cried happily, and he laughed again. Ho, ho, ho! Hey, everybody! The broad man shouted as the sleigh came to a stop. He slung the massive sack over his shoulder and picked up a jar before hopping off the sleigh. Good tidings on the solstice!
Good tidings on the solstice!
The children echoed back. The children crowded around as he began his march to the center of the town. They eyed his overlarge sack with excitement, or began scratching the boar that they all remembered, who had pulled them around the fields for hours. He huffed happily at the attention, shoving his nose into faces and sniffing excitedly. The single antler, which had been tied to his head, made him look even more friendly and comical than normal. Jin greeted the rest of the adults, some simply nodding in his direction, while others clasped his arm in a more informal greeting. Mei Ling poked her head out from the kitchen, then rolled her eyes at the sight of the advancing man. Jin came to a stop just outside her own house and sat down on one of the chairs. Now, he began, I have one question to ask you all. Have you been good children this year and listened to your parents? The children nodded eagerly. Jin stroked his chin in consideration. Oh? Will your parents say the same? He asked, and several of the eager children suddenly appeared worried. It was the parents' turn to chuckle as their children squirmed under Jin's mock scrutiny. Now then, let's see what I have in my bag. He made a great show of rummaging around in it. I believe I have something here for Mao Mao. The little girl's eyes widened as she was handed a smaller sack, which she eagerly opened. She gasped at the small toy and cookies. She grabbed her necklace and held it up beside the small stuffed butterfly.
It matches what Father made for me,
she cheered. It only spurred on the growing excitement. Each child got a small sack that contained two cookies and a toy. The cookies were devoured, and they ran off to play, Chunky in tow, leaving Jin in his chair and watching them fondly. Jin smiled at Mei Ling as she approached. Not too disruptive, I hope, he asked her quietly, and she shook her head.
Joy helps bring back the sun. Joy, color, fire, little sparks that the sun can see, even when it's so deep in its slumber,
Mei Ling replied simply. She didn't resist as an arm hooked around her waist, pulling her into Jin's lap.
What possessed you to put a horn on Chunky, though?
It was funny, Jin said honestly. She rolled her eyes, then shook her head in bemusement.
You are so strange, she told him fondly.
Jin grinned and reached into his bag again, bringing out a large cookie and a small stuffed cat. She raised an eyebrow at the cookie. It was well done, though she thought her smile didn't get quite that wide.
Me? Am I supposed to eat myself? It seems a bit morbid.
Jin shrugged. I could always eat you up if you want, he mused, his tone turning husky. Mei Ling flushed, smacked him on the chest, and took a bite of a cookie. Her eyes widened at the sweet, spicy taste.
This is really good.
I've got enough so that everybody should be able to have some, not just the kids. Several of the parents crowded around as Jin opened his bag wider and handed out a jar filled with the treats. Noises of appreciation sounded out while his gifts were devoured. Somebody handed him a honey candy, and he popped it in his mouth. The sleigh moved past at a sedate rate, crowded with children as they cheered on Mighty Chung Ki to the sound of jingling bells. We'll come back every year, Jin said to her. Or whenever you want to. Doesn't have to be a special occasion. Family is important. Smiling, Mei Ling closed her eyes and leaned back into her soon-to-be husband. That sounded nice. Really? I asked skeptically. We were all sitting at a table, waiting for the feast to begin, and Yun Zhen was telling a rather tall tale made more outlandish by the strange blue tint to his skin. I don't know what had caused it, but nobody seemed too worried. I swear it had antlers this big, Yun Zhen said, stretching out his arms as wide as he could make them. His movements caused the knitted snake he was using as a scarf to bounce around. Sure it did, his brother harrumphed as he stuffed another cookie into his mouth. And I'm the magistrate. His other hand played with the stuffed dog I had given him. He had complained mightily about how he wasn't a child when I gave it to him, but he had yet to put it down. Ah, the ones that got away stories. Those were always good, but I'm actually kind of sure Yun Zhen is telling the truth this time. It is Xianxia land, after all. Maybe it was a spirit deer.
Yun Zhen lies as naturally as he breathes, Mei Mei heckled him, and his face flushed. She was currently wearing my Santa hat and had the knitted cat stuffed in the front of her shirt. It was cute. I'd have to make her a hat, too. I'm not lying. I swear it was out past the creek.
It was steadily darkening, and we had been served dinner. I'll admit the glutinous rice balls that were traditionally served weren't my favorite, but they were traditional. I looked back through Zhou's memories and smirked. He hadn't liked them much either. There were a lot of snacks and sweets, which agreed with my taste buds a lot better. The village version of gingerbread was super spicy and delicious. Honestly, I thought it was nearly a match for my own family recipe. It was like getting punched in the face with pepper and ginger, and it was glorious. There was also honey candy and dried fruits, which rounded things out. Things were winding down a bit as everybody sat around and digested. The kids, however, had eventually gotten bored of riding around on the sleigh and had found another source of fun. Namely, throwing pieces of food over Washi's jar and watching him leap up to snap them out of the sky. The little glutton was in heaven, eagerly popping his head out of the water to slap his fins on the edge and demand more food. Even some adults had joined in, trying to get the little bits of nuts past the all-consuming fish-shaped void. Chunky was being used as a backrest, and Peppa was nearby, simply watching over the children. Big D was on Mei Ling's roof, Rizzo on his back, as he examined the town. Tigger was playing with her new toy out in the forest. My disciples had gotten their gifts a bit early. Tigger's was a reinforced hacky sack. I'd probably need to do a lot of maintenance on it, because chi reinforcement only lasted so long. However, it was something that could take her hits for a while, and she had been extremely pleased with the present. Big D got a new perch that had been installed on the top of the house. Chunky had gotten a new hockey stick, Peppa a selection of dried fruits and nuts, which she had enjoyed immensely, Rizzo had gotten a new bag, and Washi received a new basin for him to sit in at dinner. The rest of my disciples had kept their gifts back home. Tigger was the only one that refused to put hers down. There was an angry splash, and a person started shouting with fear. Somebody had decided to be a smartass and had tried to use a rock instead of a piece of food. Washi had taken issue with that. One of the older boys was yelping and howling as he ran away from an irate fish. Washi's bounces were impressively high, and he could move fast enough to keep up with the guy trying to lose him. I was going to intervene, but the rest of the village found it funny, so I let it go. It was pretty damn funny. I turned back to my future family and continued listening to Yun Zhen's story about the buck that had escaped him. Finally, I asked what had been on my mind for the entire time I had been here. Yun Zhen, why is your skin tinted blue? He flinched and then scowled at his brother and Mei Mei. They both looked entirely too innocent.
Some people don't know how to take a joke, he said flatly.